Hello, this is Ms. Confederate coming to you today. And I say Deo Vindici to all my friends and to all Southern supporters out there. Dixie is our motto, and we love the South and we believe in our people. And no matter what others say about us, we know what we are and who we are. I got some good things to say and some really bad things to say today. You probably know what the bad things are, but I'm going to say them anyway. But I want to start with the good things. I participated in my second parade for this summer, fiddling, Dixie, and a few other songs like When Johnny Comes Marching Home and Southern Soldier, but mainly Dixie. I was on a parade float in the town of Faith, North Carolina, which is south of Salisbury. That's the city of sin where they removed the angel nicknamed Fame there that has stood there for 100 plus years. One of the most horrible things I can think of anyone could do to remove that angel holding a down soldier, a dying soldier at the Veterans Hospital. Close to the Veterans Hospital. At any rate, Faith had a wonderful parade, and we had a troop of Confederate reenactors there that participated, and they were in outfit, and they did a volley in the middle of the square, and we had motorcycle mechanized cavalry, and we had a float with some reenactors on it, and I was there and played Dixie on the fiddle. Another parade was in July the 5th. Another parade was August the 19th in the town of Newton, North Carolina, north of Charlotte. Very historic town. A wonderful town. They have turned their old courthouse downtown into a museum. And folks, it's worth visiting if you have that kind of interest or if you're from this area. There's even something there about, there's a room that has information about the Jarretts, who are from this area, the race car drivers, and many, many other things. So, in that town, there's the Old Soldiers Parade held every year. This was the 132nd year, which I think puts it back to 1892 when it began. I don't think they had the parade last year, but I'm not sure. But I believe it began in 1892 with an actual Confederate soldiers reunion. The sad thing is that within the recent years, there has been a movement to eliminate Confederate symbols, etc., from this parade, which was begun by actual Confederate veterans, which is so ridiculous. But a man in 2017 who was, I believe, carrying a flag or dressed as a Confederate veteran, I believe he was maybe carrying a flag in the parade, was pepper sprayed by an idiot man who turns out was a white gentleman, not a black gentleman, a retired principal from a school in the area, I believe, who just decided it was up to him to express an opinion that nobody thinks. In my mind, he should have been able to do that, but he did. And he had a gun on his hip, too, but luckily he didn't draw it. But anyway, I rode around on a float this year playing Dixie all around the town, and believe it or not, there were many, many people clapping. There were high school bands from close by who have been the last couple years told not to participate because of the association with the Confederates, and they're trying to express their indignation, I suppose, from liberals and Marxists and perhaps Yankee idiots, whoever it is that hates the South. But anyway, we could have had some problems this year, but we didn't. So that's the good news. And hopefully, if you know of anything like that, that's some great news, please send it to my Facebook page, Miss Confederate. I'd love to hear it, and send photographs too. Please, you know, add those, send those, message me on that. Send me whatever you can. If you want my email address, I'll give you that so you can send things over to me. But I'd love to post those good news about our South and things going on there. So, on to the bad news. As you know, probably, I'm going to read you the sort of news story first about this event and then go on to commentary about it. So I'm going to try to control my anger thoughts when I report on this. As a news item, Robert E. Lee statue in Richmond, Virginia was destroyed. On Wednesday, September the 8th, despite the protests of statue supporters and amidst BLM, Black Lives Matter activist cheers, Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat governor of Virginia, ordered the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue, which was the centerpiece of Confederate statues on Monuments Avenue in Richmond, and over which a battle had been waged for over a year. Should have been waged for 5 years. The statue depicted General Lee astride his famous horse Traveler, and its removal strikes a blow to individuals and groups who value the history of the South and oppose forced removal of its memorial monuments to the Civil War. The statue is the last remaining monument to the Confederacy located on Monuments Avenue and across that city, which was the capital of the Confederacy. To continue to report somewhat objectively on this, question, what prompted the removal of the statue? Governor Northam's action was spurred by thousands of Black Lives Matter protesters demonstrating across America last summer following the death of George Floyd in Minnesota. We know who that was. In addition, the governor's character was attacked him personally when a photograph surfaced showing him playing a role while he was, I believe, in college as a blackface character. This is where someone blacks their face out and makes themselves up as a black person and causing his popularity to do a tailspin as governor. Northam publicly apologized for the offensive photograph. And this was reported in an article entitled Virginia Governor Apologizes for, quote, racist and offensive, unquote, costume in a photo showing people in blackface and KKK garb that was reported on CNN February 7th of 2019. So, Governor Northam of Virginia apologized for his bad behavior. I am so impressed. Governor Northam announced plans for the Lee statue's removal in June of 2020. This was about the time George Floyd was killed in Minnesota. But a group of Richmond, Virginia residents challenged the removal in state court. Smart folks. They argued that an 1890 deed to the property and an 1889 Virginia General Assembly joint resolution prohibited the governor from removing the statue from public property. Sounds reasonable. The liberal Virginia State Supreme Court, however, ruled against the group and dissolved injunctions of lower courts, which had kept the statue up. Yay, courts. You're really on the ball. So in this news reporting continued, reactions of the public to this. Though a group of statue supporters tried to block removal of the monument, Democratic State Attorney General Mark Herring, another great guy, stated that all injunctions to retain the statue were to be immediately dissolved by court order. Wow, isn't he a hero? Governor Northam himself then ordered the monument to be removed. Yay, Governor! Black Lives Matter supporters and anti-Southern participants attended the removal and declared victory. They cheered and they chanted. Shouts of joy were heard, news reports said. Well, hey, yay, we did so well. We got him down. We've been trying this for a while, they said. Some supporters actually tried to block the statue's removal, but they were unsuccessful in doing so. I'm sure they were overwhelmed in many ways. The Associated Press reported that the huge statue of Robert E. Lee, which towered 21 feet tall without its pedestal, that's pretty big, fellas and gals, 21 feet tall. I'm trying to imagine that. My ceilings are not even 10 feet tall. I don't think. I know they're not. So it'd be at least twice as high as my house. That is huge. That would be as big as a two-story house. Wow. The Associated Press reported that the huge statue of Leiwich Tower, 21 feet tall without its pedestal, and I believe the pedestal was even larger, was cut into two sections before being hauled away. Wow, that's nice too. Neat touch. Let's see if we can't figure out how to get demolish the thing and just totally get rid of it. Maybe they could take a hint and realize it was up there to be supposedly to be forever. That's why the thing was made so big and bulky. So it was cut into two sections before being hauled away Wednesday, September the 8th, to an undisclosed state-owned location. The graffiti-covered pedestal, which looks like crap, and I don't know why people couldn't clean it up. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to comment. Standing twice the statue's height. Okay, there it is. It was twice as tall. My gosh. Wow, they had fun covering that with graffiti. Remains there for now with indefinite plans for its future removal or use, the report stated. The pedestal. The owner of Team Henry Enterprises, which is a black company that removed the monument and other Confederate statues in the city, reported that the owner, whose name is Mr. Henry, I believe, reported that he had received death threats. I wonder why. It's not surprising, I would say. I'm glad they didn't kill him, but it's not surprising. Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney, another great hero in this event, also a Democrat. Wow. Imagine that. Last summer invoked his quote-unquote authority. Authority. He has that authority. Dictatorship, kingship, whatever you want to call that, and removed several monuments honoring General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, that traitorous person, General J.E.B. Jeb Stuart, oh my gosh, what an awful person he was, and others. He invoked his authority to do this. Protesters had previously toppled a monument of Jefferson Davis located there also. So these are the factual reportings of this event. Wondrous event going on in Richmond this past week. We want to laud and applaud these people for their great liberal minds and their open-mindedness and their ability to understand history so well. They're imbued with God's own knowledge and understanding of the finer points of history and how it all fits together in this America where we live. I can see they're very, very smart about all that. So here's a very decent commentary that I have to say on this, and I'm not using curse words and being mean in here. I might change my mind. But so far, we'll tell it like I've put it together. It's not enough that the South lost the Civil War after four bloody awful years and suffered the burning down of cities, martial law imposed, and Reconstruction lasting for decades. That's not enough, folks. Now the South, the former Confederacy, whose sons have willfully fought alongside its former enemies of the Union in numerous battles, in world wars, in Europe, the Orient, and more. I mean, look how many wars have been fought since the Civil War in which Southern men have participated, side by side with Union men. It's not enough that we didn't went through all this during and after the Civil War, but now the South, with all our soldiers who have participated in the wars of America, is being told that its people are bad. B-A-D, bad. Awful, disgusting, refuse, that they are not made good enough to be part of America. And its personal memorial markers to lost veterans from this tragic war called the Civil War are to be removed, desecrated, and destroyed. What kind of people are these? It's a fact that most Native Southern people are, quote, traditionalists, who had been reared to honor church, family, and country, to be respectful and kind to their neighbors of all colors and backgrounds. The South is famous for its genteel nature, for gentlemanliness, for kindliness, for willingness to get along with other people in the world. And the most famous preachers and evangelists in America have come straight from its ranks. People in the South are highly devoted to the church and are good moral people. Southern hospitality is a real thing. It's not fake. It is true that while leftover anger against some African Americans after the Civil War left the South in poverty and stripped it of all dignity, like I said, with cities burned down, pillaging, destruction of its economy, etc. While all of this certainly led to some abuses of African American citizens by some Southern people from leftover anger of the Civil War, these were largely corrected with the Civil Rights Act and the rise of programs across America like affirmative action, increasing government benefits to aid black society. There are many, 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 many things done to redress the discrimination that took place against black Americans, particularly since the Civil Rights Act was put in place. These efforts have begun nearly 60 years ago with advances in social justice for African Americans and gained ground across all the years. Today, African Americans can genuinely celebrate not only tremendous freedom in America, which they have been afforded certainly since they were emancipated, but it is a kind of freedom not afforded in many countries elsewhere in the world, including Africa, from whence the slaves were derived originally. If they were there now in Africa, having not come to America, what kind of freedom would they have? But they have also made great economic, political, and cultural strides across America in this last 60 years. It's amazing how far they've come. There are Derek Chauvins in any society of all colors and of all ethnicities, including African Americans. There are African Americans who have been savagely bad to whites, and there are whites that have been savagely bad to African Americans. But that does not mean that they are more than a small fraction of people out there that act this way or believe this way. So to pin all of this on the South is ridiculous. To remove Confederate monuments across the South now, especially because of the death of one black man, George Floyd, and at the hands of a policeman in Minnesota, is totally unfair and outrageous. Primarily, these monuments were erected to memorialize the men who lost their lives as soldiers, many of whom were buried in mass graves far from home and did not even have a tombstone or a headstone of their own. And yes, they were to honor the leaders of those men who also gave of themselves in the war, which is part of what defines the entire character of the South and its history, both good and not so good. The fact that one black man's death is made the cornerstone for removal of markers honoring the lives of a third of a million men of the South in war is simply ridiculous. While we all abhor injustice against all human beings, the events that have led up to removal of the South's historic markers amount to ethnic genocide, the attempt to destroy the culture and identity of an entire people, the Southern people. The Taliban and Marxists have employed such tactics to destroy monuments they dislike in countries they control. In fact, with defeated countries like Iraq and Germany, we have seen monuments toppled and symbols removed. But to compare the South to Nazi Germany, like some people have, I have had one teacher at Chapel Hill University do this to my face. She was not from the South. She compared the South to Nazi Germany. This is totally and completely unfair, for the South never did send millions to gas chambers. Never. there's no way that the South could be compared to Nazi Germany, and it makes me mad. And even if you believe the United States should oversee the removal of monuments or symbols in other countries, do you really believe it's all right to use these tactics against your own countrymen who have fought and still fight alongside with you in wars against other nations? This is very dangerous ideology, and certainly helps lead to such events as the January 6th push on the U.S. Capitol. For how can people who are expected to fight with you, united in America, be openly treated like they are trash and bad guys, and without feelings or any value at all, less than human? There are more honest reasons why the South is being now targeted by many groups for such tactics as monument removals. In other words, there's more going on than meets the eye. It's not just a matter of the Civil War and the fact that they are trying to do away with bad history. Here are some underlying causes for you to consider in this whole affair. I'm going to list a few. Number one, the South is an easy target, like an older or a weak person might be to a criminal. Now, it's just a fact. Since we are what we are, we make an easy target for people who want to, you know, reach out, strike out at someone. Number two, anti-Southern groups know that the South lost before. So what can we do against them? Number three, as people believe that slavery was an awful institution, though even in the Civil War, the vast majority of those forced to fight did not own slaves, Southerners must always be silent in the face of this horrible moral flaw and can never fight back. And this is part of what's really at the basis of our inability to stand up for ourselves. They are making us feel so morally horrible that we were defending the South, which had slavery, and we are all horrible, immoral people. So we're scared to open our mouths and fight back. Number four, as the issue centers on race, there is automatically a pool of loyal anti-Southern black citizens that can be used by Black Lives Matter and Marxist leaders to indoctrinate, while whites are more generally split in loyalty between the Northern and the Southern groups. This is called divide and conquer. It's an old tactic used by many armies, for example. As a general group, the blacks will pull together in belief because they have in common their race, whereas the whites will have who already fought a war against each other, depending on where their region was, do not think the same. So split the whites and keep the blacks together, and you will win your politics. And this is honestly behind this. Number five, other groups besides black groups, Black Lives Matter, or whoever, other outside groups who feel weak in America, for example, can join together with BLM and Marxist leaders to strengthen themselves. Even if they don't join with them directly, they can join by attacking the South. Here's an example. A large Catholic college near where I live has a supposed, quote-unquote, slave auction rock located in their narthex on display. It has a plaque on it and has a little water fountain going, and the plaque stirs anti-Southern sentiment because it is largely itself, it stirs anti-Southern sentiment by saying this was a slave auction rock. Now I ask you, what church would put a slave auction rock in its narthex where people come in the door to the church? Is this not outrageous behavior? I note when I visited that particular church, on the wall, the priests were all from New York, whose pictures were on the wall, and this is in a Southern state. So what I say is, the Catholic Church in this area has largely been a minority in the South, so it has felt threatened. So what I'm saying is, as a result, it uses anti-Southern indoctrination tactics, talk, and all the stuff that's going on, protesting against the South. It plays on this and it pushes it itself, because that way it gets to become stronger in this minority area for them. They get to become stronger. Okay, and the last and most important one reason that I'm going to bring up is number 6. Think about it like this. Wolves, sharks, and mobs of people will attack at the first sign of fear, most often, or at the first blood. I know this seems to be putting it down on an awful level, but here again, this is true behavior. Because I personally have faced down some of these mobs, these ridiculous mobs of youth in a college type environment or college age type people or even younger who are being indoctrinated. They are a mob. And what is a mob? A mob is a gang or a pack. Wolves roam in packs. They're too chicken, to be honest, whatever the word is. They are not willing to attempt to kill something by themselves. They must form a pack to do this. Sharks are the same way. Sharks run in packs because that way they have the upper hand no matter what. They're very unlikely to be hurt. Mobs of people who work as mobs are just the same as wolves and sharks. They are acting as an unruly, uncontrolled mob. Well, it is controlled because it knows what it wants. It wants to kill something, destroy something. It wants blood. This is the number one reason why so much is going on with removal of historic monuments. So mobs have not been kept under control, and they can and have torn down, destroyed, and murdered the most sacred or the gentlest people in the world in the past. Look at Jesus Christ. He's a great example of this. I don't know about you, but it makes me really angry. Really angry to know that people out here have so many base and ridiculous reasons for destroying things that they don't even understand, and for destroying the memories of people and not caring about anybody in this world except themselves, for thinking only of themselves, for not staying in their own area, because a lot of these people are being led by people from outside of the South anyway. This is just an unbelievable event for them to take down the Robert E. Lee statue. And I'm going to back up and just say about Governor Northam, particularly Governor Northam. I don't know the man. He's not my governor. I don't live in Virginia. But I know this. When the war started, my people were in North Carolina and South Carolina. And particularly the ones in North Carolina, they were demanded, it was demanded that they join the Confederacy. I mean, after they joined the Confederacy, it was demanded that their men serve. At gunpoint, they were forced to go to Virginia to defend Richmond. Their blood was spilled at Richmond. They died at Richmond. They gave their lives at Richmond. And some were even executed and talked trash about, because they did not participate well enough to win the war. These people that I'm speaking about were part of the Confederate group and were soldiers and served just like every other soldier. They were forced and asked to come to Virginia to defend them. Newspaper articles can prove that they were expected to do this. Expected. How can then Virginia turn around and fight against the people they asked to come and defend their own place? That makes no sense. This is awful behavior on their part. They should be thinking beyond their own set of monuments. If they wanted the people of the South, the whole South, to join in their battle. They should have been right there. They should be there, right there now, on the working with these people also, which they're not doing. I don't see that they care at all about other states involved. And South Carolina right now is facing a question of its South Carolina Heritage Act, which is at this point keeping up their statues. And I say two things about Governor Northam, and I sent this to him, and I hope that he got this note. First, I say to Governor Northam, and if he wants to come after me, he's welcome to, but I say that he is a stupid idiot. They don't come any dumber than that man, because just because they found a photograph of him in blackface from when he was young, if he was so concerned about this, he should have given up his position as governor to someone else. That would have been the proper thing to do if he was that concerned about it. Don't sell the whole South away. Don't give away the whole entire South because you were attacked personally. This is the divide and conquer attack that's being done by outside forces. Divide and conquer. Attack your enemy and then have them turn on their own people. This is what he has done. The man has turned on the South, the entire South, not just his group or the people around him, but the entire South. And he leads the way in the question of whether or not South Carolina will be able to maintain its own monuments. So to Governor Northam, I say, you are a conceited, selfish, ridiculous man who should have dropped the governorship if you felt that badly about it all, instead of doing anything and everything to keep happy the people who are Black Lives Matter supporters or whatever they were, and doing everything to bend over and keep them happy, you should have left. That's the first thing I say to you. And I just can't imagine that you could be that kind of a person. I can't imagine. And secondly, I just think that you should be thinking about the entire South, because my people, for example, were asked to come and defend your state. They weren't asked. They were forced. First they were asked, then they were demanded. Then they were treated poorly. But beyond all that, why can't you treat them decently now, sir? I hope you hear this. I really do. And if anybody knows how to get this message to him, I hope they do, because I'd love for him to hear it. Next time I talk to you, I have an incredible letter. It was actually a speech that was written by a former slave in defense of Confederate monuments. It was written in 1890, and it was printed in the Daily Clarion of Jackson, Mississippi. I'm going to wait until the next podcast, and I hope you will listen to that, because it is a phenomenal letter. And I just sent a copy of it to the United States Senators in Congress, to each one of them, as they try to decide what to do about Confederate statues in the Capitol. I already feel sick about the renaming of military installations. I think this is disgusting. And while I don't plan on any violence, if I can get to Washington, D.C. for September 18th, I believe I will go just to stand there and present my point of view, not expecting any violence on my part or anybody else's with respect to me. It wouldn't be for that point. It's just to express an opinion about what I think about America, because it seems to have headed way down the wrong path when it comes to the South and to its ability to honor the people that are being asked to serve alongside it in all kinds of wars and situations and pay taxes and everything else. So, goodbye. This is all for now. We'll talk to you later.